Hi, and welcome to today's podcast that is part four of a series covering how to drive effective change in organizations. APQC is the world's foremost authority in benchmarking best practices, process and performance improvement, and knowledge management. With more than 1,000 member organizations worldwide, APQC provides the information, data, and insights organizations need to support decision-making and develop internal skills. This is Madison Lundquist, Principal Research Lead for Process and Performance Management at APQC. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe to APQC podcasts on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Part four of this change management series will cover how to train and engage employees. We are again joined by APQC's very own Linda Broxick, our Knowledge Management Principal Research Lead, as well as one of our resident change management subject matter experts. All right, so let's move into talking about training employees. So when talking about training, are you talking about training the employees on conducting change or training them on the change initiative itself?
That's a good question. And I think in every change project, it actually has both. Mm-hmm. Most change projects, I can't think of a change project that maybe didn't involve some sort of education or training of what the change is. Mm-hmm. New process, mm-hmm. new technology, yep. new way of doing something. Mm-hmm. There's going to be some little component, could be a large component, could be a little component of training. And you have to have a training plan. Again, another discipline that has an entire process wrapped around designing and implementing a training plan, right? Small scale changes, the change manager could end up being responsible for some of that training, and they probably have the skill set to do it. Mm-hmm. Large scale changes, you're probably going to be eliciting the help of a learning and development organization or a training specialist, where you're going to have to translate to them what mm-hmm. that change is, along with your business people and subject matter experts, and develop training and deliver it in different modules and in different ways. It all depends on the scale of the change. That's for the change itself. As far as training people on change, for a specific initiative, at the beginning of a change initiative, when you're kind of bringing the project team together or a program team together, I think it is important for the change manager to educate the project team on change management and how you're going to be working together, because not all project teams have worked with an actual change manager or even using all those components of change that we talk about, like managing resistance and developing training plans and communications and what that looks like. So there's a component of that that has to happen at the beginning to help educate the project team on what that looks like. And I was always a proponent of, we're starting from the beginning and we're making the assumption that no one knows anything about this. And we're going to have a little change management 101.
Yeah.
This is what I mean.
Or they may have done it somewhere else.
Correct.
And they don't know what the specific organization they're at now.
Absolutely. Does. Absolutely. Great point. So this is what we mean when we say change management here. This is kind of how the process is going to work. This is how we're going to work together. This is the expectations I have of you. Now you give me your expectations, right? It's a great way to really, I'll say, educate the project team and get everybody on the same page. Just as a program or project manager would do at the beginning, they'd say, this is how we're going to operate the project. These are the roles we're all going to play. This is how we're going to work with business subject matter experts and all of that. I think there's actually a third component, and that is change management in general, mm-hmm. not associated with a project, not associated with a specific initiative, but are you as a change person responsible for helping to educate the organization in general or as a whole on change management? And some have that responsibility in organizations, some don't. Some will take it on as a responsibility because
yeah.
they get asked to. Mm-hmm.
So voluntold.
Yeah, voluntold, like, you're going to help this organization with change management. It's like, okay, you know, tell me more. So, you know, having, again, if you have a methodology within your organization, how are you making sure people understand that? How do they leverage the tools? How much of the tools do you want them to leverage themselves?
What's in their toolkit?
Yeah, exactly.
What can they access?
Yeah. So there's toolkits for people because you want them to become better mm-hmm. change-minded individuals,
right.
period. But you also have some where it's like, let me know if you need some help because some of this is going to be more complex mm-hmm. change and I'm going to want to help you, you know, manage through that. So mm-hmm. there's times when using a change manager is kind of like, I need a consultant to help me out a little bit. And then there's times where I can do some of this on my own,
yeah.
right? Mm-hmm. A little bit like process improvement. Having a process improvement mindset helps you improve how you work mm-hmm. and within your teams, but you might reach a point that you need to bring in a process engineer or a process expert to really help you revamp processes.
Exactly.
It's kind of the same concept with yeah. change.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk a little bit about approaches and who should receive the training. Yeah. So who should receive the training on how to conduct change?
Okay. First, I see what you're saying. Uh-huh. So there are four change practitioners, people who are identified as an actual change expert or mm-hmm. practitioner within an organization mm-hmm. definitely need to receive the, how do we do change at this organization? Mm-hmm. How do I conduct these assessments? How do I create communication plans? How do I ensure a training plan is in place? Like yeah. the whole gamut of how do I operate as a change practitioner, mm-hmm. almost a role-based approach to training, yeah. right? I think that's one way. Mm-hmm. Then there's change capabilities. I think change management capabilities built into leadership
yes.
curriculum, which I think is actually one of the most important in an organization. If there isn't something about driving and understanding and leading change in your leadership curriculum, please add it.
Yeah, because not all change is this huge change. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, no. somebody has to change desks. That's a change. It may be a huge change for some people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so having that in the back of a leader's right. mind is critical.
Yep. And then I think there's that kind of middle level. So the leadership is really important. The change practitioners are really important. And there could be some key roles in your organization mm-hmm. that the expectation is that you do know and understand change a little bit. Mm-hmm. A training person, a project manager.
Yep.
In a lot of cases, project managers don't have change managers available to them. So having some of that capability is super powerful to have.
Maybe we like talk, a product owner?
Yeah, like a product owner in an agile world. Absolutely. Yeah. A product owner, even a scrum master, mm-hmm. right? They're getting people to kind of keep moving yeah. through a process on a regular basis. Process engineers. Anyone who's asking people to go from today to tomorrow and it looks a little bit different, right? Mm-hmm. It's, and I think the average employee, in all honesty, a little bit of change is good. Mm-hmm. If they're working with external members, customers, clients, whatever you call mm-hmm. them, a little bit of that empathy and listening ability is super, super helpful. Mm-hmm. I think of a lot of HR roles.
Yeah.
Right? Change management is a big component of human resources organization. A lot of times they own a lot of that training. Sometimes they'll purchase like very basic change management training from companies that they can get training from. And those, that's great because it's just the basic principles of change and people and all of that. And I think that's fantastic. I've seen more than one company, we talked about communities of practice earlier. I've seen more than one company in my career have a change management community of practice. And that's a great place because it can bring a multitude of people from novices all the way to leaders that are getting together to talk about change. And they can learn from one another. They can talk about complex. They can talk about simple. They can share their stories of change and how certain things were helpful or harmful mm-hmm. as they were managing through change at all different levels of the organization. But it's a way of bringing it into people who just kind of care about it, the average employee. So there's so many different levels, but leadership, your change practitioners, and then knowing those key roles mm-hmm. who really could benefit from understanding at least the most basic principles of change enough to know that they can do some of it on their own, but enough to know when to ask for help from a professional
and where to ask for that.
And where to ask for that help. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So the other side of the coin, I think, is a little more straightforward, but when a change is going to happen, who should receive the training on that specific change project? Everybody and anybody, right?
Yeah. Well, whoever's impacted, again, yep. this is with your audience analysis, mm-hmm. right? This goes back to audience analysis. There could be different levels of training.
True.
Right? Some, and this happens a lot. Mm-hmm. So certain changes will require training for leaders, mm-hmm. but that could be like an hour training because they just need to know the high level and they need to know how their employees are going to be impacted and what to expect, mm-hmm. right? That's the leaders. Then there could be the managers. How do you talk to the people about change and what is the change? They need to know enough to have empathy for the people who are being impacted mm-hmm. by the change, the new technology, the new process, the new work structure, whatever that looks like. And then that's the actual details behind the change. Like I'm going to be using a new system
yep.
as an ERP, employee, a new ERP system mm-hmm. or a new module in your ERP yep. system is being updated and rolled out. You could end up in a 40-hour a week yeah. long training and even user testing, and you could be doing lots of things. So it kind of depends. And in most cases, especially large scale changes, you're probably going to have 2+ versions of the training. Just don't forget those different audiences. Don't yeah. think that just an email is going to be sufficient for your leaders when what they really need is at the minimum a half hour or 45 minute overview, understanding so that everybody's hearing it the same way and hearing it at the same time mm-hmm. so they can be prepared. So different levels depending on, but the person most impacted by the change obviously yeah. is going to have the most extensive training, and they need to have guides and modules and a place to go after the fact. And one of the best ways, I'll be honest with you, I didn't know this was going to keep coming up today. It just kind of keeps coming up, but to sustain a change, I had a lot of people come to me and say, do you think a community of practice would really help us sustain this? Because we have this new technology mm-hmm. and we've trained them and mm-hmm. the training was really good, but then they go day one mm-hmm. and they don't have anybody to go talk to about it.
Yep.
And would a community be helpful? And I'm like, absolutely.
And I think another, you were thinking community as a practice from yeah. a KM perspective, my mind went to a power user.
Yeah. Same concept. Yeah, absolutely. It's a very similar concept. Mm-hmm. Sometimes communities of practice are for super users.
Yeah.
And that's how we would phrase mm-hmm. a community. Like, it's a network of people mm-hmm. who need to know and talk to each other about what's happening and share yeah. best practices mm-hmm. about, hey, did anybody try this piece of the mm-hmm. module today? Because I had to go do this and yeah. this and this, and that wasn't in the training. So mm-hmm. the other thing too, is get that information back to the change and the project team so that if they need to update the training for future users, mm-hmm. it's a closed loop system, right? You're identifying issues, you're putting them back into the process so that it can be corrected for the next time around.
And when it's a more cross-functional team of power users or community of practice, then you also get different ways the Correct. Change is affecting everyone across the organization, because what matters one department may be different than the other.
Absolutely.
Or their daily job may be so drastically different that it's something you didn't even think about affecting yep. this other group over here.
It's a great point, because it's those kinds of things that come up in training that you didn't even anticipate. Yeah. So how do you capture them, get them back to the right people, capture the nuances mm-hmm. by department, by role, and make sure that that's communicated back to those people, yeah. but also that it's put back in the training for future users. If you're going to be doing ongoing, that's where the sustainment piece comes in.
Yeah.
Don't forget about the ongoing training that might need to happen after the initial change happens, yes. right? So,
okay, let's move on to engaging employees. We've kind of hinted at engaging employees throughout the whole podcast today, I feel like, but what are peer level change agents? Or I feel like we've said change agents a lot.
We haven't really defined them, have we?
Let's stop yeah. and define what is a change
okay.
agent.
You know, that's a really good question, because I've seen so many different approaches. Mm-hmm. Change agent, change champion. Mm-hmm. We use some different terms sure. for them. It doesn't matter. Whatever works in your organization, uh-huh. whatever makes yeah. the most sense.
Or power users, or, you know, or if you don't even want to put change. Correct. Or, you know,
like in an IT world, people would use the terms a lot of times, super user, power mm-hmm. user, whatever. Again, it has to make sense to yeah. your organization and to your audience. So mm-hmm. whatever that word is. What we mean by that, though, is those people that we know are, I'm going to say a change champion. I'm going to use that term just generically yeah. to mean all those things we just said. Who are the influencers? Mm-hmm. Who are people going to follow?
Listen to.
And listen to, right. Who are the people who are going to help you manage the change effectively? Because let's face it, they're a team player. They're good at what they do. And like I said, people follow them. People listen to them. When you can bring those people together mm-hmm. throughout a change project, even if it's, so this is just an example, it might help people understand. Large scale project, maybe it's a year long project. Mm-hmm. You establish a group of change champions or agents mm-hmm. within your organization, maybe from different parts of the company. You bring them together, introduce them to the change, ask them if they would be willing to help you. They're going to say, what does that entail? Because I don't have a lot of bandwidth, right? They're always going to say this because these are the important people in the organization. Mm-hmm. Again, they're the influencers. And basically all you need from them is to know what the change is, ask them to start communicating and talking to people in their organization about it, mm-hmm. get back together with them maybe once a month, every other week, every 2 months, whatever the right cadence is, and get feedback from them.
Yeah.
Tell me what your people are saying. When you talk to your team about this, what did they say? What are they concerned about? What are they excited about? What do they think we need to do different? What do they think, you know, and you give them some information each month as the project goes along to help them continue to communicate. It's kind of like the talking points we talked about yeah. with managers, same thing. Give them enough information to take back to their peers and their networks mm-hmm. and the people they work with to share what's happening, get some feedback, bring that back to us, be transparent with yeah. us, tell us what that's all about. That's to me how you use those agents or those mm-hmm. champions. And then they also are usually become, they could become pilot participants and they become your super users, power users. They're just the voice mm-hmm. of the change. And again, they are meaningful senders within their organization. If I know my go-to subject matter expert within my department is John, and John is now a part of this change network, when he comes back and he tells us things, we're going to listen, and we know we can tell him our feedback, and he's going to go make sure that that feedback gets incorporated. I sleep better at night. I know that my voice has been heard, and I can move on and do my job. And I don't have to waste time and energy complaining or worrying or wondering about the change, because I know John's got it. He's going to go back and take care of it for us. Mm-hmm. To me, that's a power user. That's a change champion. That's a change agent. And those are some of your most powerful advocates within the organization. It also gives the change manager some of that real data that they can take back to their leadership sponsors if there's an issue. And they can say, this is what we're hearing from the procurement department, or this is what we're hearing from HR. This is real. This is coming from our people. And here's what we want to do to go address that. And here's what I need you to do as a leader to help us address it, right?
Right.
You know?
And I've seen in some organizations too, where the change champion, maybe they know someone's really going to resist the change.
Yeah.
So they'll be like, hey, why don't you be a part of our change team
to
help get their buy-in to not show other people that they're resisting the change?
Yeah, that's a great point, because
it's like a mind trick.
It is. And it's a great point, because I said before, when I talked about change champions, I said, get those influencers.
Uh-huh.
I don't always mean good influencers.
Yep.
That's a great thing to bring up. Sometimes the people who are going to be your greatest challengers, you want in that group, because you know they're going to be honest. They're going to push back.
They're going to ask all the questions.
Correct.
Yeah.
But those greatest challengers usually become your greatest advocates, because they're so passionate about what they do, which is why they dig deep and they ask questions and they do all that. And you need them.
Mm-hmm.
You really, really do need them.
Yeah.
And even though sometimes it's hard, you need them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, again, they become your greatest advocates. And in some cases, these change champion people can actually become trainers.
Mm-hmm.
If you have formal training that needs to happen, usually you do want trainers that are subject matter experts, because they do it every day. And you need them to be part of the training process.
Mm-hmm.
You can build them right into your training plan as well, if bandwidth allows,
right? Right. All right. So we've talked a lot about change today. But if you could pick two main ideas to provide organizations embarking on change, what would they be?
The one thing that I always like to tell people is, do not get hung up on the model, right? Do not get hung up on the model, and don't be so model driven that it's like it
puts you in a box.
Yeah, it puts you, thank you, puts you in a box. Change management is like anything, really. There's great methodologies for it and there's great models for it, but it can never be followed from A to Z exactly the same any two times in a row. It's never the same. You have to be able to be agile. You have to be able to adjust. Now, you want a common language about how you talk about change. So if you're going to pick a model, that's great. Pick a model. Don't get hung up on it though. Pick what works best for you, create whatever that is, or use whatever you think it is, and kind of stick to it and make it your own thing. Even if you're going to use an existing methodology in industry, that's fine. You're still going to make some adjustments as you go through. You don't follow it A to Z every time. You have to be able to assess the circumstances and apply what's relevant to your organization, to your culture, and to the specific change. So the flexibility, and don't get hung up on the models and stuff. Just pick your way, define it, and move forward and go do good things, right? That's one thing.
Yeah.
I would say the second thing, you said two things, right? The second thing I would say is leadership. It's the one component that sometimes is very difficult, but it's also one of the keys to change is great leadership, sponsorship, and buy-in. And as a change practitioner, it's one of the more challenging things to do, and that's to challenge a leader, to take them difficult information, to disagree potentially with them. Candid, I had a leader that, and if he happens to hear this podcast, he will laugh that this stuck with me after all these years. Candid conversation with respect.
Ooh.
That was his mantra. Candid conversation with respect.
Mm-hmm.
We must have honest conversations no matter what level of the organization we are, but we do it with respect because we want the same things in the end, right?
Mm-hmm.
So change managers have to have a lot of courage, and they have to really focus on the leadership aspect.
Mm-hmm.
We get so hung up on need a comm plan. We need a training plan. We have to manage resistance. All of those things matter in change. But if you do not have a great leadership sponsor that you can sit side by side with and manage the change, I can almost guarantee you that you will not be successful. And I think you will actually find a lot of that information in our research at APQC as well, that speaks to the power of the leadership sponsor in change. But you'll also find it in some of our human capital management research around learning and development and the leadership development aspects, that changes are not going to be as powerful if you do not have that voice of the leader and they don't understand it. Unfortunately, in my career, I've met change managers before, and I'd say, who's your sponsor? And they'd say, well, it's the CEO. And I'm like, do you actually have conversations with this person? And do you? And they're like, well, no, I don't get to talk to them. They're not really your sponsor then. A true sponsor of change is a person that you get to be side by side with, provide coaching to them, and they provide coaching to you, and they become the voice of the change. So sometimes you might have too high of a level of sponsor and all that. So just focus on the leadership and really, really think about the leadership component of the change. As a practitioner, that person can become one of your most powerful sources for the change. To me, it's sometimes it's the difference between success and failure is, was it led appropriately? I might have done all my tactics right from a change management perspective, but if my leader was not along and saying all the right things and supporting the organization, it still might not be effective. Yeah. So leadership, and don't get hung up on the model, right? To me, those are two really, really big things.
Yeah.
That's just Linda's point of view. Everyone might have some difference. So yeah. I'd love to hear more from other people, right? Like what they think about what are their greatest learnings when it comes to change? Because I think this topic can just go on forever and ever.
And the world is ever changing.
I know.
So there will be change forever.
Exactly.
Going back to your having a sponsor on a change, that makes me think of strategic initiatives, for example, and you're having an executive sponsor per se, and they almost become your change agent for the leadership team.
Absolutely.
To communicate the change to them. And then you hear back from leadership. So then it's like this interwoven web of change agents throughout the organization. So.
And you know what? That's such a great point, because not all executive leaders, if they were sponsoring something, would they know that their responsibility is to go back and talk to the leadership team about it? So as a change practitioner, it's your responsibility to ensure they understand their role as a sponsor. And that's something that's really hard to do as a change person. The first time is to look at a senior leader and say, here's what I need you to do as a sponsor. Give them a roadmap, give them specific things that they can work on. And I'm going to say 99.9% of the time, they are extremely appreciative of it. Because they have a roadmap. They know then what they need to do. And they know all the communication forums. Some of them are naturals at it. They're just going to do it anyway.
Right.
But some of them, they've got a million things going on at a time. And just you giving them those little reminders is amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, they appreciate it. One of the first change projects I ever worked on, I was scared to death to walk into the office of a vice president and say, hi, I'm Linda, and I'm going to be the change management person on this particular initiative, and you're my sponsor, and I'd like to have a conversation with you about your role as a sponsor. And I thought, this could be career limiting for me, right? Fortunately, I knew the person fairly well, so he was very open to the conversation. But we sat down, and I talked through, here's what I'd like to see you do throughout the project. Here's kind of how we're thinking about it. And he said, you know what, Linda? I've been a sponsor of a lot of projects in my career. And he said, I never really knew what that meant. He literally was honest enough to say, I never really knew what it meant other than to just show up when they told me to show up and say these things. And I said, well, that's a little bit of it, you know, but he said, I really appreciate you laying it out on a roadmap and saying exactly what you need me to do and where you want me to show up and things like that. You know, I mean, obviously he's a smart man. He knew the organization. He didn't need me to give him the talking points and stuff. I just needed him to be visible and be present and let people know that he really did care about it. But he's like, I love this. He goes, now in 6 months, I know what I need to do over the next 6 months for this. And he goes, and you're going to remind me, right?
Yeah.
I said, absolutely. I will help remind you. But they just, leaders are really busy and they're moving from place to place all the time. So don't make the assumption that they're not going to want to talk to a change practitioner or something like that. Take that opportunity to get to know them and help them, and they will become your greatest advocate, and they will become one of the greatest communication channels, right, for your particular, and they will, most importantly, they will help you break down those barriers when you run into problems. If you have that good relationship and you run into an issue, budget issue, serious resistance, the technology blew up, right, you name it. They're the person you can go to and say, here's what we're experiencing. We need you to go break this barrier down because you can at your level and with your authority. It's hugely beneficial to the organization, to everybody, to the change, but to the organization as a whole.
Great. Well, thank you, Linda.
Thanks, Maddie.
Thanks, Linda.
This was a lot of fun.
It was. Hopefully we do it again soon.
Yes. I think we have lots to talk about with change in the future. Absolutely.
Change in KM and BPM and more.
That's right. So. That's right.
All right. Everybody have a great day. We'll talk soon. Thank you everyone for listening to the podcast. That was the final part of our conversation with Linda on how to drive effective change. Be sure to go back and listen to parts 1 through 3 of the conversation. Once again, I'm Madison Lundquist. To learn more about our research, please visit www.apqc.org, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.